covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Whoa, that escalated quickly. 10-0. The Brewers get the big win today over the Tigers. Losing streak is over. They still have not lost more than three games in a row all season long. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a moment. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Once again, 855-616-1620. First and foremost, right off the top here, why didn't Tobias go back out for the ninth? Oh, my God. Okay, look, he was at 100 pitches. You've got a guy, James Meeker. Who knows if he's going to get another opportunity this weekend to get his big league debut in. He struggled a little bit, Tobias did, with his command there in that eighth inning. Baez almost crushed one. And then, I get it. I totally get it. This was uncharted territory for Tobias. Did I want him to go back out there? Absolutely. Would have been awesome. Complete game shutouts are rare. But I also understand, look, it kind of becomes a double-edged sword where it's like, if he goes back out there and gives up a home run in the ninth, it's like, well, then you take him out. Like, what are you going to do? So it's like, if he wasn't going to finish the inning, there's no point of sending him back out there. I'm fine with it. He did his job and then some tonight. Obviously, the offense did their jobs tonight as well, because the offense is what allowed Tobias Myers to cruise in this one. So, Craig Kishon, I ask you, where do you want to start, Tobias Myers or the offense? Because we can spend a lot of time on both of them. We'll get him here on just a moment here back on the program. But for the line today for Tobias Myers was 8 innings, just one hit, the first batter he faced today, no runs, 3 walks, we'll monitor that, and 5 strikeouts. A couple of texts that have rolled in there, this one from the 414, should have let him finish a great game. But just outlined the reason why. Tobias with the game of his life. Another great pitching performance from this dilapidated staff. Good word. Tip your caps to Chris Hook and all of the pitching coaches. Also nice to see this offense back in gear. Hopefully a great confidence boost moving forward. That one from David in Superior. And that's why you let a man finish the game, bring it back to the old days when they're pitching great. Don't take him out. Let him finish the game. He's pitching beautifully. Only reason they can't finish the games anymore is because nobody lets them. That's a fair take. I think that's a totally fair take. This was uncharted territory for Tobias. He's going to start again before the next off day. He's not going to get an extra day off. He's going to pitch on the regular 4 days rest, so maybe that factored into the decision as well. I wanted him to go back out there, but I totally understand the reasoning of why they did not send him back out there, just for the sake of he's going to go again in 5 days. And it sounds like they only wanted him to go for the shutout, and it was a longer inning in the eighth. He had so many quick frames. I don't know. It could have gone either way. I wouldn't have been mad about sending him back out there, but then, you know, it's kind of a fine line of, do you want him to continue to have confidence, or do you want him to, you know, go out there and feel like, oh, man, I didn't get it done in the ninth inning, right? There's a line there. Finish it on a great note. Get the Gatorade shower after the game. There is absolutely nothing wrong with what he did today. The biggest thing that jumps out to me is 21 first pitch strikes. 21. Out of 27 batters faced. That's been a problem for him for the season, as far as not being able to get ahead and stay ahead and find a way to, you know, make sure that he rolls with his full repertoire. We saw a few more cutters today. We saw a few more changeups today. For a guy that has a great fastball, and we know that he has a great fastball, he didn't rely on the swing and miss today. He got a ton of ground balls today as well. I thought that was very important for Tobias. You look at the final box score, 100 pitches on the nose, he had 8 ground ball outs today. That's something really important for him, too. He can get swing and miss, but when he's especially effective is when he's getting weak contact and not relying on the fly ball, but he can get multiple ways out, when he's not relying on elevated fastballs. We saw him mixing things up today. Granted, the Tigers started swinging early, which played right into his hands and played right into the cutter of how much they struggled with that pitch today as well. When you look at his usage of the cutter today, in total, Tobias 24% slider, 12% cutter, a few more changeups too, but still a lot of it relied on the fastball. He didn't get a single swing and miss on the fastball today. So much was put in play on that pitch in particular. We'll try to sort out this audio issue with Craig. We're going to take a quick breather. We're going to hear from you as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, we got Craig back. I'm Dominic Catronio. What a night. 10-0 Brewers win. They beat up on the Tigers. No more losing streak. Craig Kishon is with us. Craig, let's start with Tobias here. Because not only did the Brewers need this, you know, with the bullpen use against Philly and trying to get some stabilization out of the starting rotation, Tobias needed this, man. Needed something to hang his hat on after the last few up and down outings and being on the shuttle between Nashville and Milwaukee. It has to be taxing on him. And to deliver this at the big league level has to be huge for him.
Well, you're not lying there, Dom. I'm telling you right now, and he's not going to be on any shuttle going back to Nashville anytime soon, that's for sure. But just remarkable performance, spectacular, really. I don't think anybody would have expected quite this anyway. Like you said, a little up and down. He's still learning some things on the major league level. We all understand that. And tonight, though, took a major step forward. Outings like this can obviously do wonders to a career, but more importantly, where he is in his young career here right now. Everybody needs a confidence boost, and it's more so what he did. And I heard you on the last segment. He mixed all his pitches well. He put the ball in play. His defense had a relatively easy time here tonight. First batter, base hit after that, no one on for eight innings. You know, baseball is a funny game, and it's also a beautiful game just by what we saw here tonight, because expect the unexpected and hopefully expect a little more than what you saw here tonight from him as well.
This is a guy that, a reminder, we talked about this after his start against the White Sox, where he really struggled, didn't get out of the fifth last Friday. And you're thinking, and he gets optioned quickly, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, and he's right back here. This is a guy that a reminder that the Brewers wanted him to be a little more developed. I mean, he's on his fifth organization for a reason. The Brewers have been really working hard with him to develop his work, and because of all the injuries, he's been thrust into developing in the big leagues. It does not matter who you are. It is hard to do that. And today, it really helped that he had some really aggressive mindset on the other side, but he caught into that. He made an adjustment. He started attacking the zone a lot better on first pitches. And again, that stat is the one that jumps out to me. 21 first pitch strikes today out of 27 batters faced. That was my major moment of today's game.
Right. And you can't script it any better than that. Well, you can script it, but to have it come to fruition like this is, was off the charts, to be sure. But this is what makes a really good pitcher. And if he's got the makings to be even a good pitcher in the league, he's going to have a few more moments like this and what we saw tonight. And first pitch strikes are to me, they fall in the line of, pitcher's best friend is, you know, the double play and whatnot. I mean, all those things got to fall in for him and for a pitcher to be able to do that. So it definitely stands out. It makes his night easier. It makes all his defense's night easier as well. And that's what gets you to the eighth inning. So to get through eight was like, wow, what are we watching here? You know, it shouldn't be that way, Dom, but that's okay. We can celebrate that tonight. We can celebrate that with him. And you know, to your point too about just him learning on the major league level here, sometimes you got to be pressed into duty. But at times you're pressed into duty because you know, the people above you know that you can handle it. And I think we've talked about his demeanor and what he's able to accomplish on the mound. Tonight, I think things kind of all around just fell into place. It was just a just a nice major step here, real positive step for this young guy at this point of his career.
Let's get to the phone lines here real quick. I see you calling, but first I'm going to get to Brian in Tulsa. Brian, welcome back on the show. You're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Craig. Great bounce back. You got. I think what helped him is the big inning, second inning, we score 5 runs. He relaxed. Otherwise, like in that Philly series, our pitchers are like on a tightrope. They can't make a mistake. So once that happened, I think he settled down and he just knew he could be aggressive, and they were aggressive. So I think that played into his performance, which is great. We need to see if he can keep that up. With Gasser going down now, what are we up to? 8 pitchers on the IR or something I saw earlier this week. But great win. I just hope we didn't use up all our runs tonight, because sometimes that's happened. We have a big outburst and then we can't score the rest of the series. So, but it was good to see, and it's a way to bounce back after a tough 3-game series.
Absolutely. I agree. Thanks for the call, Brian. Craig, let me give you a moment here, too. Let's go to the 3rd inning, right? So after that big inning that he's talking about, the 2nd inning, we'll talk about the offense in the next segment. 5 runs in the 2nd. Then he comes down a shutdown inning in the bottom of the 2nd. But in the 3rd inning, Tobias walked his leadoff hitter, then 7-hitter in the order, a rookie just up for his big league debut, Justin Henry Molloy. Walks him on 4 pitches to lead off the inning. And in a 5-0 game, I promise you, Chris Hook and Pat Murphy were instantly on alert, thinking, oh boy, 2nd time through is coming up. He's walking the first guy he sees. But how does he respond? He gets to 0-2 on the next 2 batters, Javi Baez and Carson Kelly. Quickly gets it back to 2 outs and then gets Vierling to pop out. I thought that was the moment, kind of like being able to pitch comfortable and realize, hey, wait a minute, up 5-0. They're not going to hit a 5-run homer here. Let's attack. And that's what he did on the next 2 batters.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. You certainly don't want to, take a fall back, I guess. And you want to prove, hey, those runs, I can work with these runs of support and not give anything back here. And it's really important for a young pitcher like this to make sure that you go out there and you keep throwing the shutout innings. You keep getting the outs. And even if you walk, a leadoff batter, you gotta quickly figure out a way to get straightened out. But I think very much so there is something to be said about having that cushion of support. And certainly I'd almost guarantee he felt it out there, because there have been some times here on this road stretch, obviously in Philly, where they haven't had any runs of support at all. And that can wear on you for 3 straight games like that, and wear on you as a staff as well. And I'm sure he was well aware of all that.
855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Let's get to Colin out in Delafield. Colin, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Brother Dom. How's it going?
It's going.
Hey, man. You know, we talked, 8 weeks ago, I'm going to call it, and we had a hard time thinking that the starting pitching was going to be sustainable. Okay. So I'm going to bring it full circle here. I thought, with our offense and our pitching, we had to score like 4 to 6 runs a game to even have a chance against the Phillies. Now, here, I mean, we let up very little runs, and ultimately we didn't score. Now here we are again against roughly, a .500 ball club in Detroit, like we've faced before with, the Cubs, et cetera, right? And we've done a good job on both sides of the ball. But I'm going to go back to that Philly series, and I'm going to ask you, what do we really need here? I mean, do we really need pitching? I mean, the pitching was really good in the Philly series, and we didn't score runs. So were we wrong before? Do we need more hitting? I mean, moving forward, we have a really, really good team. I'm just having a really hard time seeing what do we need.
No, I think you always need pitching. And a reminder, when Junis and when Ross come back, they've got long injury histories too. And Craig, I know you know this. Appreciate the call, Colin. Look, there is no such thing as too much pitching. Simply, there is simply no such. Look at this team. They're going to use. They've used 11 different starting pitchers, potentially using their 12th next week. Wink, wink. And my goodness, like, it's amazing what they're doing, and what Tobias just kind of picked up where the pitching staff left off. The pitching staff did not pitch poorly against Philly, one of the best offenses in baseball. So I get what you're saying, Colin, but I'm never going to turn down more pitching.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's no team in the history of baseball that would ever turn down more pitching, and even teams that win 100 games or more during the regular season will always say they can use more pitching. You just never know when you're gonna endure the injury. I don't think anybody expected this out of Robert Gasser. I mean, he's potentially facing a major decision here that could end his season. We don't know. We have no clue here at this point. But that's potentially what his injury could come down to. So, you know, just a few days ago, you were looking at this guy saying, boy, what a find, you know, this has been, you know, how fortunate he is, or this team is, to have this guy in the starting rotation right now. And now suddenly he's gone. So you can never have enough. I mean, we talked about this, you know, on our postgame shows during the Phillies series, Dom. As good as the Brewers pitching was in that series, and even though they lost, it was just like, you know, how much more will this team need? You know, will they go after it outside, you know, via trades here before the trade deadline in July? You know, what will really happen here? So you can never have enough pitching. This road series so far, it's kind of bizarre when you think about it, that this is the first win of the week. When you look and say, well, the Brewers starter or the Brewer pitching staff has given up a total of, what, 7 runs in 4 games, and they've only won 1. So they've done their job for sure, and it just seems to be getting better here with this performance by Myers for sure.
Yeah, I agree, and good point on the Gasser stuff as well. Want a reminder that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. Okay, we haven't even addressed... They scored 10 runs after all the chaos of the Phillies series. That's coming up next. Brewers offense on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Okay, they only scored 2 runs and 15 hits the whole series in all 28 innings that they played against the Phillies this past week. And here they are today, up against the Tigers. They scored 10 runs and 16 hits today. They shut out Detroit 10-0 game one of a 3-game series. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is still with us. Craig, I mean, I'm looking at this box score, some gaudy numbers. First career 4-hit game for Bryce Turang. Yelich went 3-for-3 with a walk and a hit by pitch. Joey Ortiz had a couple of hits and a couple of RBIs. Blake Perkins had 2 triples. 4 different guys had multiple RBIs, but I think the most impressive stat that I could come up with this game, Craig, and you know I love my stats, the Brewers,
oh, yeah,
the third time this season, they have scored 10 or more runs without a home run. That's the most in baseball.
Yeah, it's impressive. And what, this is their 9th time, I think, they've scored 10 runs, which is also the most in baseball, too. And it's funny because it follows this stretch against the Phillies where they just couldn't muster anything. And yes, they went up against really good pitching, but you know, look, the Brewers have had obviously 9 times where they've scored 10 or more runs this season. And they've had quite a few times as well where they have scored just a single run or gotten shut out like what, 4 times. So you're going to have your ups and downs. There's no doubt about it. But I almost liken it to this, Dom. We always talk about the good things so far about when this team has been on the downside of things. They haven't had long losing streaks. And that means that they may have gotten their offense shut down like we saw in that Phillies series. But they're able to pretty much bounce right back in the next series and make something happen. And hopefully this is just a springboard for the weekend. Everybody needs a shot in the arm. Tonight was a shot in the arm for just about everybody up and down the lineup here right now. And this stuff's contagious with this team. They know it. And I'm sure they can't wait to get back out there tomorrow afternoon.
When I look at the lineup, and like with Terang being at the start of the lineup, I remember we were talking about this when it comes to, hey, is it might be time? And boom, they finally did it against Kansas City. And he's really found a home there. What jumps out to me about the four hits today, all four hits were something a little bit different, right? So in the second inning, he just hits a classic little flick into left field, dump a single, keep the rally going to score a man from third. Because the infield was in, elevate the baseball, great job, mission accomplished. In the fourth inning, double, turns on it, 107 miles an hour off the bat. We don't see exit velos like that from Bryce Terang. Fifth inning, two strikes, classic Terang, pokes it through the left side between the 5-6 hole. Then finally in the seventh, they were shifting him heavy to the middle. He said, oh, I'll take the free hit down the third base side. He took that as well, just clean single on a changeup away. I mean, he pulled the ball once, hit the ball the other way three times, had a two-strike hit. That's what a dynamic leadoff hitter does. He puts the ball in play and puts pressure on you.
And I'm not sure where this all is coming from, Dom. I know this guy was so successful in the minor league level, and every level that he came up through the minors, it was always Bryce Terang's going to be a big leaguer here soon, and when he is, he's going to be there to stay, and he's going to be, a longtime big leaguer and impactful. I don't think we saw this coming, especially from the standpoint of last year. We talked about this a lot. Just you got to give this guy so much credit on and how hard he has worked to get to this point. But to turn his hitting around, I mean, this guy is hitting like an all-star. This guy is hitting like he's been in the league 6 or 7 years. This guy is hitting where he wants to hit. And I think right now that is just unbelievable stuff. I mean, to me, I get exit velo and all that, but I mean, this guy is simply hitting where he wants to, and he understands where he needs to send the ball, and he's putting it there. He doesn't need the home runs. He doesn't necessarily need the gappers. He is just being the leadoff guy, the catalyst, and it's been fun to watch, and it's meant so much to this offense.
I want to shout out another guy that we've shouted out plenty on this show before, but he got quiet there in the beginning, middle of May when Yelly got returned, and he was really struggling there for a little while, but he's hot again. Blake Perkins. Blake Perkins is now hitting .260 on the season. That's 20 points above league average. Today he hits two triples. He also today did not strike out. Over his last 18 games, Blake Perkins is hitting .368 with, I'm counting them up live right now on the radio, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 multi-hit games. 9 of his last 18 games are multi-hit games. His OPS is over 1,000. Look, this is a great hot stretch. It's not going to last forever, but man, when Blake Perkins gets going like he's going right now, you're like, oh my goodness, they did it again. Like, I am loving what we're seeing from Blake Perkins right now, and he's hitting 9th in this order. What a blessing in disguise to have him hitting 9th.
Yeah, he's got a different type of confidence, I think, than maybe your common Major League Baseball player, because, again, he doesn't have a ton of Major League experience either. We saw him kind of come up last year and build his resume a little bit and fight through struggles and then gain through some success stories and stuff. But I mean, this guy's a switch hitter who's doing some tremendous things here right now. And I don't think like he is at a point either where he knows Garrett Mitchell could be on the fringe of returning here to the big league level. I think he's just out there playing baseball here right now. And I think it shows in center field the way he carries himself. And certainly at the plate, he's just flat out smooth. And I think he's dangerous at both sides of the plate as well, which makes him, and gives him every reason to have Pat Murphy keep him in the lineup, no matter who's pitching right now. And he's been able to answer the bell. I mean, 18-game stretch, what the numbers you're talking about, is awfully, awfully impressive.
real quick, let me ask you about William Contreras here, because I know they scored 10 runs and everything's great. William has been kind of quiet lately. He's hitting a little over 200 over his last 20-something games. And today we saw him take a foul ball off the glove, and he was really hurting for a moment. Seems to really letting the frustration boil over on the offensive side right now. Look, tomorrow, assuming he's in the starting lineup again because he wants to catch Freddie, and with Willie Adames, they'll set a new Brewer record for most consecutive games started by a pair of teammates to start a season. With both William and Willie, it will be their 64th straight start. So my question, though, is like, okay, once you get that record, the dude clearly needs a couple of days. And we're worried about this for a long time. Like, you're going to overwork him, you're going to overwork him. And I know Pat smiled, and he knew deep down that we were right. And I think William believes that he truly can play every single game, but we're starting to see, like, dude, it's okay. We literally saw JT Realmuto take Wednesday off. That's okay. And this offense can be okay without him. I am just begging for William, get this finger right, because it's impacting his offense now.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do this cleverly, Dom. I mean, yes, he needs a day, but maybe he needs, you know, a couple of days. Maybe he needs a day. Let's just throw a scenario. Maybe he DHs tomorrow. Maybe he gets Sunday off. Maybe he DHs Monday and then is back behind the plate on Tuesday. That's just a scenario, at least giving him like three consecutive days where he's not behind the plate. Yeah, I agree. You know what? Let him get the, you know, the record for teammates and starting the year in consecutive games. I guess that's fine. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to take that opportunity away. But they do need to come up with a creative way to give him a break and A, get him off his feet, but more importantly, just let some of the nagging stuff, like that left hand, left finger, you know, heal up a little bit, you know, give him a break somehow. But we'll see what they end up doing, but I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line a scenario like that would formulate.
That's something I'm just monitoring. I'm not worried about it yet, but I mean, he was hitting 345 right, like 3 weeks ago, but now it's down to 311. His OPS has slid below 900. But this is also the reality of the catcher position. You know, it's a taxing position, and when you're slumping offensively and you're dealing with, you know, your catching hand, it's okay. And I think after they get it done tomorrow, we'll start seeing some more regular time off for him. Hey, tomorrow, the Brewers hand it to Freddie Peralta, can go for a series win. And Freddie is trying to get back on track. He had a really rough go over the first inning against the White Sox, but aside from that, he was dominant. I really think tomorrow is quietly a very important start for Freddie Peralta.
Yeah, I would agree. He needs to be Freddie Peralta tomorrow is what he needs to be, and not just a partial Freddie. You know, he needs a nice clean game. You know what, Dom? I don't care if it's even, I'm going to say it like this, just five innings. But if it's only five innings, it has to look cleaner than what we've seen over the course of the last month or so. And I do agree. I mean, it's important because I think this guy can still carry this pitching staff, but he needs some kind of a boost here right now. But it all starts with him. I mean, he can't get any help outside of what he's capable of doing and just kind of mentally getting back into that groove and just being Freddie. So I hope somehow, some way we see that tomorrow afternoon.
I think we will. And quite frankly, if it's five clean innings, he's probably going to go longer than five innings tomorrow. Craig Kishon joining us here on 620 WTMJ. Craig, thank you as always, my man. And we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, sounds good, Dom. Thanks.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. Take a breather, come back. I see a text here about trades. You know we always want to talk about trades. That's next on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 10-0. Good vibes. What a day for the offense. Big five-run second. Three more runs in the fourth. In case you were wondering, the last time a Brewer had two triples in a game like Blake Perkins did tonight, Hernán Pérez back in 2017. the super utility, emphasis on super, for Hernán Pérez. This text here coming from Dave in Maquanago. What are your guys' thoughts on the trade market? Just have a feeling that this offense will fall short in the playoffs. How it is Pete Alonso or Luis Robert a realistic trade target? Neither of which are realistic trade targets for the Brewers. Here's why. Pete Alonso's a rental. You already have a rental first baseman, maybe, with Rhys Hoskins if he opts out. Where's Pete's going to want to play defense. I'm not putting Rhys to a DH. You already have too many outfielders when it comes to Robert, so obviously an outfielder's going to be going out. And quite frankly, Luis Robert, he's got a lot of soft tissue injuries. I don't like the sound of that. Dude's missing a lot of time. And I saw him in the minor leagues when he was missing a lot of time. Yes, they're both great players, but I don't think they're fits for this team. The trade market, as you heard earlier, I'm never turning down starting pitching. Ever, ever, ever. I talked about it a little bit on my show last night on Brewers Weekly, just one episode back here on the Brewers All Access podcast feed. I talked about a really interesting target that I was thinking about is Luis Severino with the Mets. He would be a rental. The Mets stink. I'm sorry. The Mets stink. And Severino, it's only going to be like $2 to $4 million for the rest of the year prorated. You've obviously know David Stearns pretty well, and he obviously knows the farm system pretty well, who he wants. But I identify him, or you could really back up some of this prospect capital that you have. Call Miami and say, hey man, we know everyone's talking about Jesus Luzardo, but what about Ryan Weathers? What about both? You know, like, could you do something crazy to go get Luzardo or go get Crochet? The reason why those guys are so much more expensive is because they have that extra year of control. They have 2 years of control on top of the rest of this season. But again, the number one thing on my wish list is consistent starting pitching. And ideally someone with multiple years of control, because the Brewers are in an open window. If you think the team is young this season, just looking ahead to what potentially could be next season, think about this for just a moment. You've got Brandon Woodruff returning. You've got Freddie Peralta returning. I imagine Aaron Ashby would be seriously considered for the rotation. We don't know about Robert Gasser right now. Colin Ray has a mutual option. Then you've still got maybe Carlos Rodriguez on his way up. Maybe you've got a Chad Patrick coming up. Maybe Tobias Myers is still in the fold. So if you can get another, like a real third, true 2-3 starter to help out Freddie and Brandon, I'd be in on that. I'd be very, very in on that. This text made me laugh from Sam in New Berlin. Murph may have to glue William to a chair to get him to get a day off and keep him out of the lineup. I agree with that entirely. We're going to hear from Murph coming up next, but first, a reminder that Brewers Extra Innings also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. It's your AC unit more than 10 years old. Through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500 on a new unit. Visit Sider.com. That's SEIDER.com to schedule an appointment today. All right, Murph coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Happy manager, Pat Murphy. Brewers get a 10-0 win, rebounding. They still have not lost more than three games in a row this season. Here's what the skipper had to say.
I thought Tobias was fantastic. You know, always include William Contreras in there because that was a great matchup there. I mean, they teamed up and did a great job. Tobias needs that guidance, and William being there with him every step of the way was brilliant. And then, yeah, our offense was good. They stayed relentless, you know what I mean, and kept putting on them.
What impressed you most about Tobias?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about somewhere around 20 out of 25 first pitch strikes. You know, that's crucial.
And Rhys Olson came in with a 2.48 ERA, and you guys scored 8 off him, most he's ever allowed.
He's a good pitcher, man. We hated losing him. That was an agonizing trade and movement of that guy, and everybody was so high on the kid, and he's got a great future, and we just happened to get to him today. He's outstanding.
And we talked before the game about how confounding the game can be. That it's another good example of it. But talk about the importance of having Ortiz, Perkins, Turan, Contreras, and Yelich. The other guys contributed, but those five, having those five in a row, coming up pretty continually, getting on base and knocking in runs for you.
I mean, those guys have been pretty good all year. I mean, Rhys Hoskins driving the ball to the fence there, and Ortiz seems to come up big over and over, and Blake hitting balls in the gap. I mean, those guys, Terang has been unbelievable all year. You know, they're hungry, you know, and they're playing hungry. Reese Hoskins hasn't played in a year, and he's hungry. And Yelich, you know, wants to lead this team the way he is, and, you know, it's just great to see.
So you're having a lot of fun, aren't you?
It's not all fun. It's not all fun, but it's they're a great bunch, man. They're a great bunch.
Pat Murphy, great bunch. Easy to say when you're up 10-0. How about the highlights? That's coming up next, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game one after an off day, three games in Detroit, as it is right-handers Reese Olson and Tobias Myers as the matchup from Comerica Park. Game was scoreless after one inning of play, then things really got going in the second. It all started with a Sal Frelick single, Reese Hoskins double. That put runners on second and third, and with one out and the infield in, this has always been the bugaboo as of late. Trying to get that man home from third with less than two outs. Put back the ball, Joey Ortiz.
And the pitch. And a bouncer back up the middle. It's going to get under the glove of the second baseman, Keithan, into center field. Frelick will score. Hoskins around third. He will score. It's a two-run single for Joey Ortiz, and the Brewers have struck first. They lead it 2-0.
Lane Grindle on the call on WTMJ. Then the merry-go-round would begin. Blake Perkins at the plate.
1-1. Lined into right field. This is going to get down. It'll be extra bases for Perkins. Ortiz around second. They're going to wave him around third. Blake's on his way to third. Ortiz to the plate. He will score. An RBI triple for Blake Perkins. And the Brewers lead it 3-0.
First triple of Blake Perkins' career, shockingly enough. He wouldn't be done. More from him a little bit later. Next batter, top of the order, Bryce Terang. He's got a knack for contact.
1-0 pitch. And a little shallow liner into left field. That's going to get down for a base hit. Perkins trots home. An RBI single for Terang. The Brewers' fifth hit of this inning against Olson. And it's 4-0 crew.
Their seventh five-run inning or better of the season. They would add another thanks to a stolen base double steal type play where they threw all the way through to second. Terang said, I'll take home plate. So 5-0. Tobias Myers was rolling in the meanwhile as we pick things up in the fourth inning. Brewers still leading 5-0. Runner on second and third now for William Contreras with a drawn in infield.
0-1 pitch. Ground ball towards third over the leaping Urshela and into left field, a base hit. Scoring from third, Perkins. Right behind him comes Terang, and it's a two-run double. It went into the corner on that chopper, and William Contreras standing up to second base. Brewers have a 7-0 lead against Reese Olson and the Tigers in the fourth.
Josh Maurer's call. They would add another in that fourth on an RBI single from Sal Frelick. So they're well in control. It's 8-0 Brewers, and Tobias Myers, he allowed a hit to the first batter he faced, then nothing, and nothing, and nothing. He was rolling through five, rolling through six. And then in the fifth inning, remember we said, look out for Blake Perkins again. Well, here he is.
1-0. Lined into right center field. This ball is going to get down and plug the gap. It'll roll all the way to the wall for Blake Perkins. He's off to the races. Around third is Bowers. He will score. And Perkins with his second RBI triple of the night.
First Brewer to have multiple triples in a game since 2017. The Brewers still weren't done. Bryce Terang would add an RBI single. He would add one more single later. That would be his first career four-hit game, but Tobias Myers still keeping a shutout on the board. He got through the sixth inning 1-2-3 on just 10 pitches. He got through the seventh inning 1-2-3 on just 12 pitches, and with the Brewers in a commanding lead, he returned for the eighth inning. He left one walk stranded, but he got through eight innings for the first time in his professional career in shutout fashion. Then in the ninth, big league debut for James Meeker. He walked the first batter he faced. but he got a twin killing to end it.
Meeker the pitch, and a ground ball to short. Glove by Ortiz to second for one. On to first in time. This ball game is over, and the Brewers have shut out the Tigers here tonight in the Motor City. The Brewers' third shutout of the season, and they win it 10-0 to take game one of this series at Comerica Park.
They smash out 16 hits. They had themselves a day and also kept a zero in the Tigers' run column. What a day for the crew. Their third shutout win of the season. We'll look ahead at tomorrow coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
A Brewers group
on WTMJ.
All right, here's your upcoming schedule. Brewers tomorrow. First pitch is at 3:10. Our coverage will begin at 2 o'clock. I've got you for Brewers warm-up. That'll go from 2 to 2:35. Network coverage will take over from there. And then I've got you after the game as well with Brewers Extra Innings. Sunday, no Brewers warm-up, but we still have the on-deck show, which starts at 12:05 on Sunday for a 12:40 first pitch. All Central time. Pitching matchup tomorrow, Casey Mize and Freddie Peralta. That should be a fun one. And then on Sunday, Tarik Skubal, best pitcher in the American League so far to this point in the season, will be going up against Bryce Wilson. Still waiting on some injury news as well. Robert Gasser is going for a third opinion on his elbow right now, given the first two opinions, according to Pat Murphy, were contrasting. D.L. Hall is going to throw a bullpen this weekend after he got the second opinion from Dr. Neil Elitrosh. He had recommended a PRP injection, which would have put him on the shelf. PRP stands for platelet-rich plasma, which is just basically a way to try to speed up the healing process. You see that a lot with ligaments in the elbow. But he decided, you know what, I'm just going to pitch through it and see what happens. So maybe he's on his way back soon. And Joe Ross is going to throw a rehab outing here soon, as is Jacob Junis. So both those guys should be back soon. We might see a spot start next week from a certain young right-hander. Cannot confirm that news yet, but you may have seen it circulating. Somebody who may have pitched in the World Baseball Classic last year, if you get my drift. But that could happen next homestand. We'll see if it actually comes to fruition. That's going to do it for my program here this evening. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. Thanks to Craig Kishon for calling in, and to our producer, Max Meyerson. The Brewers win big, 10-0. Big fun one. We'll talk about it more tomorrow at 2 o'clock, 3:10, first pitch, 2 o'clock airtime. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.